Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Across the Park podcast. This is a very special Across the Park extra edition with a man who lived the dream, as far as I'm concerned, in playing for Everton Football Club. It's someone who we were all really, really excited by when he signed. And makes me feel old, back in 2000 when he signed. And everybody was really, really excited by him. And we're going to talk about his Everton career. It's the ex-Swedish international, Mr. Niklas Alexandersson. Niklas, thank you so much for joining Across the Park podcast. How are you doing?
Okay, thank you for having me. I'm fine, thank you. I've caught a bit of a cold, but I hope you'll be able to hear me okay anyway.
You're looking really well. You look like you could still be playing. There's no change in your appearance from when we first seen you. So, first question really is how is retirement? How is life? What are you up to these days?
I think it's been I've been having a good time since I retired. I've been working with football since I stopped playing back in 2008, where I played my last season here in Gothenburg for IFK. Since then, I've been working as a coach, coaching young players at the school here in Gothenburg. And we have both boys and girls coming from all across the city and also from the surroundings. So we have players from about 50 different clubs. Between 13 and 16 year olds, so okay. Trying to develop them as good as I can.
So the football bug, it doesn't leave you, it just stays with you and you just readjust.
Yeah, it started as a hobby when I was a little kid, and I've been lucky enough to continue to have football in my life for my whole career, both as fun when it started and then to be fortunate enough to have it as my job, first as a player and now as a coach. So I feel very privileged to be able to work with my biggest hobby in life.
Well, this is an Everton podcast, so we do want to talk about your Everton career. You've mentioned IFK, you've mentioned your coaching, you played for the national team in World Cups, played for another big English club in Sheffield Wednesday, but we want to concentrate on your Everton career, if that's okay. And your Everton career started specifically on the 19th of July in 2000. £2.5 million signing from Sheffield Wednesday. You were actually the fifth signing of the summer and you weren't the last. It was a little bit of a chaotic summer for the club, but you were brought in. Can you talk to us a little bit about the move? When did you hear about it? What happened? And were you excited by the move to Everton?
Yeah, I think first of all, I probably myself had my best season over in England playing for Sheffield Wednesday, the season 99-2000, was voted Player of the Year by the fans. Unfortunately, it wasn't as good for the team as we were relegated, so. And I had only 1 year left on my contract. So I think it was a bit of both. The club was quite happy to sell me while I still had a year left on my contract. And for me to keep my place in the national team, and also, of course, I wanted to play in the Premier League. So that it was a move was quite clear. I had a few options, but for me, Everton was by far the biggest club out of the ones. And also a main factor for me choosing Everton was that Walter Smith was the manager. When I played for IFK before I moved to England, we played Glasgow Rangers in the qualifier for Champions League and knocked them out. And I know that from that game and onwards, Walter Smith had kept an eye open for me. So I think it helped that he was the manager as well.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because when he signed you, he actually said that. He actually said, I've known Niklas from when I've coached against him, and he's a really good player. I've had my eye on him. Excuse me. He mentioned he was really excited to bring you to the football club. Now, comments like that excite fans, and if we weren't excited enough, you go and have a phenomenal preseason where you score 9 goals in preseason. Now, this is a preseason where Everton have brought a lot of players in, and I'm not just saying this because you're on the show. You were really the standout player of that preseason. I remember a goal at Preston where it just looked so easy, where you just chipped the goalkeeper and you waved at the away fans, and I was thinking, this guy's going to be so good for us. But an injury happened on the last preseason game against Manchester City, and you started the season late. Can you talk to a little bit about how frustrating that was? Because you were flying in that preseason. You started so well.
Yeah, to bring the time back a while, I remember I came from the Euro 2000 in the summer, which wasn't the best either for me or Sweden. But then I joined the preseason camp in Italy. I remember I arrived there at the same time as Gassa, who also was a new signing. So we did a lot of the preseason running together. And I was, as you said, I was really excited about the move to come to a big club like Everton, and just wanted to get going. And as you said, I'm not sure if it was 9 goals. I remember 5 in 5 halves, but maybe it was a few more. But I remember I got off to a really, really good start. I felt at home with the team straight away, running high in confidence and everything. But then, unfortunately, I remember, I think it was a testimonial game for David Unsworth against Man City at Goodison, the last game before the season. And I scored 2 goals in the first half. But then I twisted my ankle early on in the game. And as you said, that kept me out for the first week of the season. I wouldn't say it would be completely different, but I felt that injury and also the injuries, it wasn't the only injury I picked up during that first season. So unfortunately, after having that great preseason when I was really in the team, I struggled, I came back, played a few games, then I got another injury. So as you said, neither me or the team really got going. Still felt that I played some good games that first season, but it was just the consistency that wasn't there because of the injuries, especially.
Yeah, I mean, we'll return into that, but you've mentioned somebody there that I have to ask you about. We've had some of your old teammates on the podcast who've asked questions. We've had Lee Carsley, David Weir, Michael Ball, even Alan Myers, and we've got to ask you about Paul Gascoigne. An absolute legend of the game, and everybody always says he's such a character as well. What was it like to be a work colleague, a teammate of Paul Gascoigne, Monday to Friday at Belfield and then at Goodison Park on a Saturday?
Well, to speak about Gas, I first have to mention, you know, the game I talked about before, the qualifier against Glasgow Rangers. That was the first time I came across Gas. I played against him, and he made a foul, so he got a yellow card when he got late in a tackle at me. And I remember after that, like 5 minutes after, he said, we'll change shirts afterwards. I think he was a bit sorry for the late tackle. So we actually changed shirts after that game. So I got his Glasgow Rangers shirt at home still. And as I said, then joined at the same time in Italy. I've heard he was a little bit on his way down. I mean, he was getting older. But I was surprised how fit he was in that preseason. I thought this will be an easy thing for me to do the running with him, but he actually was quite fit at the time. But after that, I mean, he as you said, he's a fun character to have in a dressing room. There were always some things coming up. One thing was I've seen on telly afterwards was when Gino last signed, when he came out in a wig with long hair. And I also remember one time when I think it was Abel Xavier, the Portuguese, made an interview at Belfield just outside the building. And could see Gaza open a window upstairs with a bucket of water and just pouring down on him. So it was always things happening. But I also have to mention, you know the funny side of him, but he was also a really big-hearted guy, I felt. Remember, I had my nephew over and with my half-brother, and they came to watch the training at Belfield, and he gave him his training rain jacket. So
Nice.
He was funny, but he was also really warm-hearted person, which I really enjoyed to play with.
Yeah, another character who came in. We've talked about fun there with Paul Gascoigne. Another character who came in, and he's still a little bit of an enigma. We've heard stories about him being, you know, crazy and funny stories. His nickname was actually Mad Dog. The fans loved him. Thomas Graveson. You came in the same time as Thomas. Was Thomas fun to be around again Monday to Friday at Belfield? Have you got any funny stories you can share about Thomas?
Well, yeah, he was also funny, and as you said, a bit mad sometimes. You could see in his eyes sometimes when he opened up his eyes. Well, there were also things happening around him. I remember once he brought some kind of a firework piece to the training ground, and we didn't really know what was happening. And we heard a big bang, and it was like a big hole in the ground.
Wow!
It was things like that he could do, but. I think most people I speak to, even now afterwards, have heard about, you know, he's mad, and they thought he was an aggressive player, but for me he was an outstanding player. He was great passer of the ball, and really, I mean, he got the team going and even the fans going, I would say. So
yeah, definitely.
Well, he had a mad side probably, but for me especially, he was an outstanding player, one of the better I played with, to be fair.
No, I think that's fair to say that he was a very, very good footballer. I think we lost him to Real Madrid in the end, and to go from Everton to Real Madrid, it just shows you what impact you have. With no disrespect to Everton at all, for Real Madrid to come and get you, you must have done something really, really right. You mentioned there, Nicholas, that season was Everton couldn't really get going, and I think that's a really great way of explaining it. We had long-term injuries. You were in and out the team. Richard Gough, Francis Jeffers, Paul Gascoigne, Duncan Ferguson, Paul Gerrard. We had long-term injuries, and we just couldn't get going. I remember you came back near the end of the season, and you scored at West Ham in a big win. You scored the winner against Bradford at home in a big win. But when that season finished, did you look back? Was it a little bit frustrating that you couldn't really get going because of the injuries?
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you come to a new club, especially, and after that pre-season, you want to play every game. You want to make a change for the team. But I think, as you said, we had so many new players, but with the injuries, we really didn't really get it together as a team, maybe because it was so many new players and it was injuries. So it was more, we had good players individually, but we didn't work as well as a team, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, before we move on from that season, one of the big talking points, and it still gets replayed now on Sky Sports and things, I think you were on the pitch at the time. It was Arsenal away and an Evertonian. I think we were losing 4-0. Evertonian has came onto the pitch and gestured to Alex Nayarko to swap shirts. Alex was upset and he walked off. And Alex actually went away from the club for 2 years. We had to loan him out because he was that upset by it. Can you remember that day? Was that a difficult day for the team seeing that to Alex?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I sometimes shared a room with Alex when we had away games. So as a player, you always want to do the best you can for a team, and I'm sure it was the same with Alex. And then sometimes it doesn't always work out, but you would never, I mean, want that to happen to anyone, whoever it is. I can understand, I mean, fans being frustrated, of course. Yeah, that was, I mean, personally, especially, I think, for Alex, really hard to take. But it was also, I mean, sad to see as a teammate, one of your colleagues, take it that hard.
Yeah, I was in the away end that day, and even in the away end, it was just surreal to see it happening. It just, I don't think you've seen it since. I've not seen it before, but it's something I did want to ask you about. But the following season, Nicholas, it seems like the manager maybe tried a new formation for the team, and he tried to play wing-backs. And then we were all wondering, oh, so where's Nicholas Alexanderson going to play, because he's a right winger? And then we start the season, and you're in like a midfield three, like a central role. Did you enjoy that time playing central for Everton?
Yeah, I've always been known as quite a versatile player who can play almost anywhere. I had played a bit central, more central before for Gothenburg, but I've played most of my time as a winger. And then even I ended up, I mean, I think you mentioned, I think it was West Ham away, where I even played up front with Big Dunk. So for me, it didn't really matter. I was probably most comfortable as a winger, but for me, I've always, you know, played where the manager wanted you, and even ended up as a fullback for Sweden, which I've never played before afterwards. So I've played most positions. I see probably see myself most as a winger, but even later in my career, I played quite much central midfield for Gothenburg as well.
Yeah. Well, that season, which is the 2001-2002 season, it ends up quite difficult for the club, and then we brought a new manager in. But before we get to that, there's a couple of players that I've got to ask you about. One of them is someone who's been on our podcast three times. He's a friend of the show. And he's an absolute gentleman. It's Mr. Kevin Campbell. He looked from the outside as a fan as a really good captain. He looked like someone the fans could trust and maybe the players could trust. Is that a true reflection? Was Kevin a good captain and a good teammate?
Yeah, I think you said the right word there before. Gentleman is a good word to describe him. I think even people from other clubs would say that. Yeah, he was a great captain, a great guy. Really enjoyed being around him. He was looking after everyone, and also a very good player, I think. So, for me, he was a great captain, and I've only good words as well to say about him.
Yeah, we love Kevin on the podcast. We absolutely love having him on. And the last person I want to ask you about for this season, Nicholas, is someone who, I'm not too sure whether you realise it, but he's an Everton, absolute Everton legend. He's played for the club on two eras. He's managed the club on a caretaker basis. He's coached the club. He would walk into Goodison Park and he wouldn't have to buy a lager. He would get the beer all night from the fans. Duncan Ferguson, what was Duncan like, Nicholas?
Well, I believe he's one you want to have in your team rather than to play against. I mean, he was tough on the pitch. I remember first time I came across him was when I played under 21 for Sweden when we played Scotland, and he won absolutely everything in the air. Yeah, and also, like Gus, I would say, I mean, on the outside, he seems like a really tough guy, and you've all heard all the stories about him as well. But I also felt he was one of the players that was sort of most welcoming to us foreign players. Right. For me, I mean, in the dressing room, out on the pitch, he was one. But in the dressing room, he also had that other side, which I really appreciated, and I really liked Duncan when to have him in my team.
we definitely felt the same way. We wanted Duncan Ferguson on our team and yeah. not in the other team for a corner coming up. It was definitely not something. He scored so many important goals over his career, Duncan. I think he deserves the legendary status that he does have. But just to go on to that season, Nicholas, it was a bit chaotic around March time. Walter Smith unfortunately lost his job. The game that sort of resulted, or the final straw really, was a game that you came on at half-time. Everton were losing 3-0 in the quarter-final of the FA Cup to Middlesbrough. What happens, as you know, in England, anyone who's watching abroad, in the FA Cup, the away allocation doubles. So Everton had 8,000 fans behind the game, behind the goal, and all the goals against us were scored at that goal. So the away end was angry. It spilled over a couple of days later. Walter lost the job. Difficult period for the fans. But the question really, Nicholas, is what's it like in the club as a player when things like that happen? If you can take yourself back to that Middlesbrough game and the week after it with Walter losing his job, was that a really difficult time for you?
Yeah, I mean, to be 100% honest, it was quite a long time. So I don't really, maybe because it went so bad in the game, I don't remember it that well, to be fair. But I remember during the time when Walter had to leave. I mean, for me especially, he was the one that brought me in. Of course, yeah. you always want to do well for your manager. But unfortunately, in the way of football, that's what happens often when you don't get the result you want to have. And as you said, you understand the frustration of the fans when it happens, and you get that final defeat that sort of spills over, and there's no other way out really. Mm. But you as a player, I mean, it can be individual, of course. Some players like some managers, and others like others. But for me, you really never want to see a manager have to leave, and because that's often the results of bad results. So, it was a difficult time. And then obviously you don't really know what's going to happen. So you start thinking about that, who will be the next manager and what will it look like when he comes in and so on.
Oh, well, it was the same week. Everton reacted very, very quickly because I think we had to win games. So they wanted the choice to be quite instant. And the same week, David Moyes walks in the door. Now, I can only speak from being a supporter, but it looked different. An example of that would be in the warm-up before a home game. It used to be Archie Knox doing the warm-up, and now it was David Moyes. The manager was doing the warm-up, and it looked like he was really a really hands-on coach. Were Walter and David different in that respect, and did it feel different when David first came in?
Yeah, I think, as you said, If you sort of speak about the old school and the newer manager, I'd had also in my previous time in England, Big Ron as a manager, and
legend,
that
yeah.
was more like the old school where they handed over some of the work, especially in the training ground, to their assistant coaches and so on. But when Moise came in, it was more almost the other way around. He wanted to be part of everything, even like the medical. He wanted to have a hand a bit of everywhere, I felt, and came in as a young manager with a lot of energy. And I mean, that was probably what we needed at that time.
I remember you scored a goal. I know it's a long time ago. You scored a goal at Derby away and we won 4-3. And I was in that away end, and it just felt like the team and the fans had got a very quick connection back together. We after the Middlesbrough game was very difficult, and I think that away game where you scored and Duncan scored, David Unsworth scored, it felt like we were going to be okay. And then we're hearing rumours that we have a very, very talented young player who is about to set the world on light. We've heard all this before, but we're told, no, this boy is different. Talking about Wayne Rooney, I imagine at Belfield, you've seen Wayne before we seen him. He was so young. What was your reaction when you seen how good this 16-year-old boy was?
Yeah, I'd seen a similar case before when I played in Sweden for Halmstad. Then we had, I think he was 17 at the time, Freddie Ljungberg came through the youth teams and up to the first team. And it was a bit the same way as with Wayne Rooney. You can tell straight away that they've got something different. There's no fear whatsoever. Even in, normally when you come up as a, 16, 17 year old to the first team, you're maybe a bit shy, a bit nervous, play simple. Maybe a bit, but he was tough. He was doing his thing. He wasn't afraid at all. And over that, he got great skills as well. So, in both these occasions, you could probably tell straight away that this will be some player.
Yeah, I remember as a supporter just thinking, surely he can't be that good. And then I think you were obviously there when he scores the goal past Arsenal, past David Seaman, and then he plays for England at 17. He went to Euro 2004, and unfortunately Everton couldn't keep hold of him. I remember watching that Euro 2004 and saying to my friends, there's no way he comes back. It was just amazing how good and how young he was. But a couple of other players who are now at the club, and I imagine this might have been really nice for you, some fellow Swedish internationals, Jesper Bornqvist and Tobias Linderoth. Was it nice to have some fellow Swedes at the club?
Yeah, as we talked about before, I could speak some Swedish with Gravesen and also Thomas Myhre when he was at the club, because it's similar languages. But especially Linderoth, we lived quite close to each other. So even though he was quite a few years younger than me, we spent a lot of time together. And obviously when you go away, it's nice sometimes to just be able to, in the room, just to speak your own language.
And yeah, of course.
We've had a career together for a long time in the national team. Jesper was at the state where he wanted to get going again after playing for big clubs like AC Milan and Man United. So, it's always nice to have some fellow from your own country in your team. It helps in many ways.
Yeah, and they were good players as well. I think with Jesper, it was just sort of maybe the wrong place at the wrong time, because he was coming into a club that were really struggling and he's had a bad injury, hadn't he? And I think he probably, the last thing he needed was a relegation battle, really. Yeah. And Tobias as well was a good player, really good player.
Yeah, Jesper was a different kind of player. You could take on one-on-one, but as you said, maybe more suited for a team who were in the top flight instead of the relegation battle. So, and at the time, when we were down there, we had to play, we had to try to play physical football, and maybe it didn't suit us. All of us, Tobias could be quite a hard guy on the pitch, but maybe it didn't suit us perfectly at the moment.
No, that's fair. And David Moyes, I think he tried to very, very quickly change our style. If I think Thomas Rosinski came in, Wayne Rooney was playing more. Joseph Yobo, the ball playing centre half, came in, and he sort of replaced somebody who would maybe play a different way. And when I look back now, it's quite strange that you weren't really part of that, because it seems like everything I've just said there with a footballing team who were going to try and keep it on the floor and play a different way, it feels like you were really suited to that. And the start of that 2002-03 season, you score against Tottenham on the first game of the season, and it just feels like you're going to be a part of it. And then you slowly are not. I think your last appearance was a substitute against Shrewsbury in the FA Cup in January. We didn't see you again. You then went to West Ham on loan, and I think you signed a pre-contract to go back to Sweden. That all happened very, very quickly. So, what happens? How did you leave Everton? Why did it feel quite strange to you as well, how it all happened?
Well, I think the start of my that's the only sort of disappointment I have, mainly in myself, because the last, like you said, from the summer 2000 and onwards, I didn't play my best football. I remember coming back from quite a successful World Cup 2002, where I scored against England, and we were knocked out on golden goal in against Senegal after going through the what was called the group of death with England, Nigeria, and Argentina, and we felt we had a really, really good team there. So if we had won that game against Senegal, we would have had Turkey, I think, in a quarterfinal. We felt this was the chance for us. So it was a big, big disappointment when we were knocked out. And I remember I had a couple of weeks off after that World Cup. But still, when I came back to pre-season that summer, I felt, still didn't really had come over that defeat against Senegal, both physically, but especially mentally. So I wasn't my best in the start of that preseason. And with a new manager that maybe haven't seen me that much, I felt I slowly we're getting back to my my best, but then I remember, I think it was Wayne Rooney who came on instead, and we played with three up front instead of wingers. So I started, I think, the first game of the season on the bench, and then I only played we changed formation in the away game. So I played away, and then I was on the bench at home. And we weren't the best team away from home at that point. So that affected me a bit. I started slowly to lose a little bit of confidence. And my first reaction was, I will work harder and harder. And that's what I did. I remember coming back from pre-season the year after. I was probably one of the best trained when we started that pre-season. But even though I was well trained, the few chances I got, I still felt when I played, I get tired. But it was more of a mental thing. I probably felt I didn't have maybe his 100% support, and that affected me. And that's the only really, you have up and downs in your career, but the 2 years, 2002, 2003, were maybe one of the few downs I've had in my career, and that slowly got to me. So at the end, I wasn't the same player. So that's why I felt I need a change to find the best me again. And it was basically up to myself. I didn't perform as well as I could or should have, but luckily for me, I found it once I got back to Sweden and played in another two championships and about 41 caps after that. So I found it again. But the last two seasons at Everton were tough mentally, since I wasn't part of the plans and didn't perform as well as I should have myself. So that's the only sort of regret I have, that you can never, besides the injuries I had in the first two seasons, but I would say that both the injuries and, at the end, a bit lack of confidence was the main thing that didn't get my Everton career going as well as I would have liked to.
Nicholas, it's really, really interesting to hear you say that, because as supporters, you rely on newspapers and you rely on internet articles, and when these articles just simply say Everton are loaning out Nicholas Alexanderson to West Ham, or Nicholas Alexanderson is going back home to Sweden. You don't understand the ins and outs. You just think that there may have been something there. So it's really interesting to hear you say that. And you've mentioned regrets. We are not ending this podcast on regrets. We are going to end it on the good stuff. I've got a couple more questions for you, if you don't mind. I really do appreciate your time. Who's the best player that you played with at Everton? Now, that's a difficult question because we've named some there, but if you had to say this guy stood out, who would it be?
Yeah, we'd probably name them. The problem is, I mean, some players like Gasa, he was at his best before I played with him. Rooney was maybe at his best after I played with him. But if I only choose one, I think it has to be Wayne Rooney anyway. I mean, if you look at his whole career and the things he did, even from start, I would probably say him.
That's fair. And the final question, really, before we do let you go, is when you look back at your Everton career, when you're sitting there and you're reflecting, what's the good time? What comes back to your face? What's your best memory playing for Everton?
I have one, especially. I mean, we didn't win anything, unfortunately, during my time, but the 30th of September 2001 was a great day. We played West Ham at home, won 5-0.
I remember it, yeah.
I had quite a good game. And later that evening, my son was born. So I remember while we waited for my wife to give birth, we were watching Match of the Day in the, the Warrington Hospital. So it was a great day with both the win and both and also my son's birthday.
Oh, no, that's a great day. And I suppose that means that Everton will always remain a big part of your life because you've gone through that experience.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, even though I didn't play my best football at the club, I still have a lot of feelings for the club. I love the people around the clubs. I thought the fans, supporters were absolutely great. Actually, some of my brother and his son are now massive Everton supporters. They were actually over in Liverpool to see the Tottenham game last weekend, they sent me a video of the equalizer in overtime, where they were cheering in the stands. So. And also my son is a big Everton supporter, so the club has affected me and still in my heart.
That's fantastic. There's a saying, Nicholas, that it's from the 60s, the team, and it says once Everton touches you, nothing will be the same. And I genuinely believe that Everton are a special club, and it's really great to hear that it's still a part of your life. We're going to let you go now, Nicholas, but before we do, there's going to be thousands of Evertonians watching this, maybe even a lot of Swedish Evertonians. Do you have a message for the Evertonians who are watching this now?
Well, first of all, as you mentioned, there's a lot of Swedish Evertonians, and I'm a proud member of the Swedish Toffees Association. It will be great to see the team in, I hope, first of all, that they survived this season after the disappointments with the points deductions. But I'm really hoping for great success in the future for Everton. And I will keep following them and cheer for them here back in Sweden. And hopefully I'll soon come over to watch a game again. I haven't been since the COVID situation, but before that I almost always came over once a year to look at the game at Goodison. So hopefully I'll be back soon to watch a game, maybe in the new stadium soon.
Maybe in the new stadium, which is not far away. Next season is the final season at Goodison. So if you can get over for that and then maybe get over the following year to watch one in Bramley Moor. And if you do, please get in touch with us. There's a bottle of beer or two that's going to be on us. We'd love to take you for one. So we really appreciate you you're joining the podcast. We hope everyone who's watching this has enjoyed it. Please like, share, and subscribe. Put this video in all your Everton WhatsApp groups. Even put it in the Liverpool ones just to wind them up. We're really, really grateful, Nicholas, for joining Across the Park podcast.
Okay, thanks for having me.